It's good to see everyone tonight. It's a blessing to be able to assemble and study God's Word together, and it's encouraging to see this good of a number. About a week or two ago, I started to hear of all the people that were going to be out of town, and I didn't think anyone would be here tonight. So it's really amazing that we've had a really good number, I think, for today with all of our members that have been traveling. So thank you very much, and it's good to see each of you tonight. I'm so grateful for the elders giving me this opportunity to speak this evening, and I hope that the things that we study will be pertinent to you and applicable to you. Obviously, that will be from God's Word. And so I'm excited about the opportunity, and thank you for it. Over the last several weeks, I'm sure you're like me. I'm sure that you've seen a lot of advertising, a lot of commercials. During the holiday season, there's always so many commercials that are on TV trying to get you to visit various stores and purchase things. And as I was working on this sermon, I was already into the sermon quite a bit, but there was a commercial that I saw that I thought tied in really well with our topic tonight. And it was a commercial for JCPenney's, and I don't know if some of y'all have seen this commercial, but at the beginning of the commercial, there's a husband and a wife, and they're exchanging gifts. And the husband gives his wife a present, and she opens it. And in the box, there is a woven off-white blanket. It's tied up in a ribbon, and it's from JCPenney's, obviously. So over the span of the next, 20 or 30 seconds of the commercial, you practically see how the lifespan of that blanket corresponds with their life as a family, and how there are moments when the mom is cold, and she takes the blanket and she covers up her shoulders. And there's another moment when one of the children has gone to bed, and they're laying in bed, and the mom or dad walks in with a blanket and covers them up to keep them warm. Or the daughter is playing with the mother and they make a tent out of the blanket in the living room and they have a flashlight and they're enjoying special time together. Well, anyway, the end of the commercial, the daughter of the couple is now grown. And it looks like she's moving into her college dorm. She's unboxing everything. And she comes across a cardboard box, and on that cardboard box it says "Mom." She opens the box, and guess what's inside? That blanket. Off-white woven blanket from all those years ago, that exact same blanket that's been with her through a lot of moments of her life. What do you think she does? What's the last thing that she does in that commercial before that commercial ends? She reaches in the box, she takes the blanket, and she pulls it up to her nose and up to her face, and she takes a deep breath and breathes in and smells the blanket. And that's what our topic is about tonight, and I think that ties in so well. Scent is a powerful thing. We all have certain scents or certain aromas that we love, scents that we love for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's because a certain smell reminds us of a special person in our life, or a certain scent reminds us of a special moment or a unique moment in our life. When I smell sawdust or I'm around construction or tools, it reminds me of my grandfather. He owned a shop. For many years, and going in that shop and smelling sawdust all the time. It reminds me of my grandfather. Here in the last few weeks, we went to go to get an oil change, and we were there, and you could smell all the smells of a mechanic. And Courtney said, "This reminds me of my dad." You know, we have these special scents, and it brings back sweet memories. And I think we're all like that. And so our sense of smell is a very powerful thing. There was a Rockefeller University study in 1927, and it stated that the average person could recognize around 10,000 different scents. And in the last few years, they've said, well, actually, scientists didn't do that study. Let's do that study again. And they have found that the average person can actually identify closer to 1 trillion different scents. 1 trillion. When we breathe in an aroma, the nose transmits to the top of the brain, and it processes emotions and memory. The presence of a soothing scent can help us to alleviate anxiety. Some even say that we are 100 times more likely to remember something that we smell than something that we touch or we hear or we see. Scent's a powerful thing. So tonight I would like to take a few moments for us to discuss being a fragrant aroma to the Lord. Being a fragrant aroma to the Lord. When it comes to aroma and the sense of smell, Scripture actually has quite a bit to say. However, it's not in the physical context like we were talking about just a few minutes ago, but Scripture reveals to us that God the Father has specific aromas or certain aromas that are actually pleasing to him. Most often in Scripture, they're called soothing aromas. So God enjoys fragrant aromas, but the question is, what is fragrant to him? What is pleasing to him? Well, tonight, let's take a few moments to focus on some scriptures to talk about what is a soothing aroma or a pleasing aroma to God the Father. Probably one of your first thoughts as we begin this study is to think about sacrifices. Think about the Old Testament and sacrifices. And specifically, you're probably thinking about burnt offerings. Burnt offerings. You think about Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 21. If you would take your Bible and turn with me there. Some of these verses on this slide and the next slide we'll be looking at in the Bible. It'll come from Genesis and Leviticus mainly. Later in the sermon, some of those passages will actually be in the slide. But Genesis chapter 8, in verse 20, what's happening here is the flood has subsided and Noah has exited the ark. And so it says in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 8, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" So Noah offered a burnt offering to the Lord from the clean animals that were on the ark. Well, how did the Lord respond to that? It's amazing. First of all, he acknowledged it. He recognized that Noah had done it. But it also says, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma in verse 21. It's amazing to consider that you have here Noah, who is a mortal man. He is the creation, and he offers a burnt offering of physical things, fire, an animal, things of that nature. And it is a soothing aroma to an immortal God who is the Creator. That's impressive. But here, after this burnt offering is offered, the burnt offering was obviously pleasing to the Lord. It was soothing to him. And God provided assurance that he would never again destroy the earth in the way that he had done it. We also think about in the book of Leviticus. If you'll turn with me to the third book in the Bible, the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus has a lot to say about soothing aromas. Here at the beginning of the book of Leviticus, God has given Moses instructions concerning how the priests are to carry things out, how God wants to be worshipped, how God wants to be acknowledged, how burnt offerings are to be done and such. And it's an impressive first five chapters. If you think about these first five chapters, there are various offerings that are given. And in these first five chapters, we have offerings such as burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. And in four of those five offerings, Scripture actually tells us that those offerings are soothing aromas to him. And we're going to look at those passages. We cannot in full detail. We would be here for about 3 hours, but I'm going to just talk about a couple. Now, the first one here is Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. If you look at, with me at verse 9, it says, this is speaking of burnt offerings and the animal without blemish. It says, "Its entrails, however, and its legs shall be washed with water." But right after that it says, "And the priest shall offer up in smoke all of it on the altar for a burnt offering, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord." And if you look at verses 13 and verse 17, it's the exact same statement. If you look at the second half of verse 13, it says, "And the priest shall offer all of it and offer it up in smoke on the altar. It is a burnt offering, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord." Verse 17 says the exact same statement. So we know that these burnt offerings, when they were done the way that God designated, when the animals were without blemish and they would take of the animal and offer it, whether it was a bull, sheep, goat, dove, or pigeon, that these burnt offerings were pleasing to the Lord and they were a fragrant or soothing aroma. Also, let's look at grain offerings. If you go to chapter 2, the instructions are given for grain offerings. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2 with me, please. "Now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. And he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord." And again, if you look at verse 9, The priest shall take up from the grain offering its memorial portion and shall offer it up in smoke on the altar as an offering by fire, a soothing aroma to the Lord. And you also see, you could go to verse 12 and read the same. Grain offerings were a pleasing aroma to the Lord, and it was an expression of devotion to God. We also consider peace offerings. If you look at chapter 3, the instructions are given to Moses concerning peace offerings. In chapter 3, in verse 5, it reads, "Then Aaron's son shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is in the fire, or on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord." And then in verse 16, "The priest shall offer them up in the smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma." And then if you look at chapter 4, sin offerings were also mentioned. An offering of atonement for unintentional sin. In chapter 4 and verse 31, it reads, Scripture reads, "Then he shall remove all of its fat, just as the fat was removed from the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke on the altar for a soothing aroma to the Lord. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be forgiven." Again, a sin offering is seen by God as being a soothing offering or a soothing aroma to God the Father. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how can we offer sacrifices today? We're very well aware, I think, all of us, that we are not under the Mosaic law anymore, and that we have the greatest of sin offerings on our behalf and burnt offering on our behalf in Jesus Christ, the unblemished Lamb of God that was given for us, which is better than the blood of bulls and goats. We understand that. So what can we do today to make an offering of a fragrant aroma to God? Well, Scripture tells us that. First of all, we can offer our bodies. We can offer our lives. If you'll turn with me over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, a passage that we're very familiar with. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. God's word states, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Rather than our sacrifice being animals, rather than our sacrifice being grain offerings or wave offerings, our sacrifice under the new covenant is to be our bodies and our lives. We are to completely give our bodies and our lives to the Lord. We are to be holy as the Father is holy. We are to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Something else that Scripture states is that we can give to others. Giving to others can be a fragrant aroma to God. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. It reads, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." Here the Apostle Paul is writing in many ways at the end of the letter a thank you. Epaphroditus has brought this gift to him from the brethren of Philippi, and he is thanking them for it in many ways. And some of the things that he says are very interesting. He says, first of all, that everything that he has been given, that he is amply supplied. He's very grateful for it. But even more so, it states, it was a fragrant aroma. It is a fragrant aroma. An acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So not only is Paul saying, I am grateful for this sacrifice that of what you've done and the generosity and the love you have shown me, but God the Father even recognizes what you have done. God the Father recognizes the fragrant offering you have given on my behalf. And they are to be commended for that. So us giving to others, us looking for opportunities to serve others, is a way to be a fragrant aroma or a soothing aroma to the Lord as we have opportunity. Another way that we can also be a fragrant aroma to the Lord is through prayers. Through prayers. Exodus chapter 30, in verse 1. This is during the time when Moses was out on Mount Sinai and he's receiving instructions again about various aspects of how the children of Israel were to worship him. If you look at Exodus chapter 29, a great deal of it is about burnt offerings and various offerings. But when you look at chapter 30, much of it is about incense. And so if you look at Exodus chapter 30 and verse 1, it reads, "Moreover, you shall make an altar as a place for burning incense." And if you skip down to verse 7, it reads, "Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. He shall burn it every morning when he trims the lamps." And then in verse 8, it reads, "When Aaron trims the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense. There shall be perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." As you consider this instruction concerning burning of incense, it is interesting to consider when it was to be done. It was to be done every morning. It was to be done at twilight. And in the New American Standard Version, it says that it was to be a perpetual incense. When you think about the word perpetual, that's continual or never-ending. This incense was to burn before the Lord. That ties in very well with what you read in Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, we have this amazing description of the heavenly realm. And in Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it reads, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing, as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." It's an interesting and powerful vision into the heavenly realm. It's amazing to consider here that you have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. The Lamb that's described as being as if slain. And then you consider that you have him taking the book from the Father, from the throne. And there are four living creatures and 24 elders present, and how they are bowing down before him. But here at the end of the passage, it states what they're holding. They're holding two things. They're holding a harp, but they're also holding golden bowls full of incense. And what do those golden bowls full of incense represent? The prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints are a fragrant aroma to God. It's amazing to consider that our prayers to God are important. I think that this validates that. Our prayers to God, they are heard. And our prayers to God are fragrant incense to God. It's amazing to think that tonight when you pillow your head and you say a prayer to God, that is a fragrant aroma raising into the heavens. And to know that God hears that prayer. Another way that we can be fragrant, a fragrant offering to the Lord, is by imitating God and teaching others. Let's first look at imitating God. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it reads, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." We all have people that we strive to imitate. In so many different areas, we look at various people and we say, "I want to be more like so-and-so." Well, there's no one better to imitate than God the Father. There's no one better to imitate than the wonderful example we have of Jesus Christ. But how do I imitate him? What a lofty task, right? He's holy. He's sinless. How do I do that? Well, Ephesians 5 answers that question. I need to walk in love. I need to walk in love like Christ walked in love. If we're to love others as Christ loved us, we're going to do some very amazing things. The sacrifice and the offering of Jesus Christ, giving himself on the cross, was a fragrant aroma to God. Likewise, we are to be a fragrant aroma by imitating God and by walking in love and being like his Son. Not only can we be a fragrant aroma by imitating God and walking in love, but we can also be a fragrant aroma by teaching others and spreading the knowledge of Jesus Christ to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, the Bible reads, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life." It's a powerful scripture. When you consider this scripture, first of all, you notice that it's a sweet aroma. The knowledge of Christ is a sweet aroma. But what's amazing about this is that sometimes we smell something fragrant and pleasant, and we say, what is that smell? What is that smell? And it's something that's pleasant to us, and we're drawn toward it. We start to hunt it down. Where's that smell coming from? I want to find that. But other times you say, what's that smell? And it's repulsive. We're all trying to go the other way. We want no part of being around it. When it comes to being a Christian, we are to have the fragrance of Jesus Christ. That is the fragrance that a Christian should be emitting everywhere they go. When we are teaching others and we are trying to shine our light in a dark world, we have a sweet fragrance to share. As we spread this fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, there's going to be two different reactions, though. Scripture here is very plain about those two different reactions. There's going to be some that smell the fragrance of Christ, and they're going to be drawn to it. They're going to say, I am interested in that. I want to find out more about this gospel. I want to find out more about Christ. I am interested, and they're going to want to study the Bible with you. They're going to want to obey the gospel, and one day they will obey the gospel and become a Christian. But on the other hand, there are those who, when they smell the fragrance of Jesus Christ, instead of being drawn toward Jesus Christ, it's repulsive to them. They love the darkness too much. They're not interested. And what's amazing is it's the same fragrance. There's nothing wrong with the fragrance of Christ. It is, as this scripture states, it's a sweet aroma. But there's two different reactions, one of life to life and one from death to death. It's amazing that this ties in perfectly with what we were studying this morning. If you think about Nandre's lesson, we were studying about Jesus being in his hometown of Nazareth. How did the people react after Jesus taught them? Initially, it seemed like things were going pretty well. He taught them a little bit more. They were full of rage. They ran him out of town. They wanted to kill him. They didn't accept the fragrance of Christ. You think about this morning, we were also studying Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. You have a lame man that is healed miraculously. How did people react to that? Well, some people said, I believe. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ that allowed that lame man to walk, and they became a Christian. But also, how did the Jewish leaders react to that? They arrested Peter and John. They arrested them. They were not interested. They told them, do not preach Christ anymore. Same fragrance, yet two very different reactions. We have quite the task as Christians and quite a responsibility. We have to spread the fragrance of Christ everywhere. And the reaction, whether a person accepts it or rejects it, doesn't change that we have a fragrance to share. We can't change the fragrance. We teach Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to understand that there will be people who accept it. Keep doing what we're doing if you're doing that. There will be people who accept the gospel. But also there will be some that reject it, just as they rejected Jesus Christ and his apostles. But we have to be the fragrance of Christ and carry that responsibility to others. Tonight, the question is quite simple. Am I a fragrant aroma to the Lord? Am I a fragrant aroma to the Lord? Am I a fragrant aroma when it comes to sacrifices? Is the Lord pleased with my sacrifices? Am I using my body for his service? Am I a living sacrifice? Am I holy in his sight? Am I demonstrating a love like what Christ demonstrated in my life to others through my actions? What about my prayers, the prayers that I offer? We know that the prayers are fragrant aroma. Do I offer prayers to the Lord continually? Think about how that incense was offered continually and perpetually under the old law and the Mosaic law. Am I doing that? Now, are my prayers fragrant to him? Am I imitating Christ in my life? Do I look like my Heavenly Father, and do people sense the fragrance of Christ when they're around me? Do I walk in love just as Christ walked? Do I emit that sweet aroma of Christ to others? Am I being fragrant with the fragrance of Christ? May we all grow and continue to strive more and more to be a fragrant offering, a fragrant aroma to God. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you have a wonderful opportunity. A wonderful opportunity. You have this time where you can accept Jesus Christ and do what you need to do to be a fragrant aroma to Him. You can bury yourself in baptism and put away your sins. Be pure as snow and wash clean. How amazing. On the other hand, if you are a Christian and you find that you have sin in your life, you may be thinking, I have not been a fragrant aroma to the Lord. I have sin that I need to repent of. Tonight is a wonderful opportunity to do so. And all of us can probably look at this and say, there's areas where I could improve. And what better time is it than now to think about, how can I do more? How can I grow more to be more fragrant to our Father and to be more like His wonderful Son? If you're subject to the invitation tonight, please come forward as together we stand and sing.